Log Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Glory be unto the Most High God. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Divine Connection. We glorify the Lord for this blessed new day that He's added into our lives. Some of our areas, it is raining. We pray that it rain down the anointing, not just glory to God, the rain to produce, glory to God, a harvest or bless and water the land and produce, glory to God, water for our thirst, but the thirst that we should always have is the thirst for Jesus Christ and His Word and Him being crucified and sanctified us, glory to God, and redeeming us back into the Father. We thank God for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit, for the Word, for the anointing, for renewed mercies every morning, for grace, for favor, just to be a part of the kingdom of God. Thank God for His unmerited favor. We bless the Lord. It's by grace that we are saved. Praise God, not in any works of ourselves, in the name of Jesus. We bless the Lord, and we pray, glory to God, that you are having a marvelous and wonderful day in the Lord. If there has been some challenges, it's still yet, glory to God, behooves us to still give God praise and glory and honor. Because He says in Romans 8:28, all things will work together for good for those that love the Lord and called according to His purpose. He has a way of turning it around, but we have to wait on it and trust Him and believe that He'll bring us through, and that's going to take faith and trusting in the Lord and waiting on Him and being of good courage and letting Him strengthen our hearts. I thank the Lord, glory to God, for you joining us today, and even those that are in the future that may listen to the broadcast in the near future or later down the road. God, we pray that there will be some things that we prayed and shared or encouraged you, glory, to inspire you to keep pressing, to pursuing after the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be more thankful, to be more grateful in the name of Jesus. We want to esteem one another more highly than ourselves and never think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, as we allow the Lord to teach us how to rest in Him, how to love, how to forgive, and how to just take on His word and His promises and to walk in faith and to continue to press and pursue. We ask the Lord, glory to God, to just speak to our hearts even the more. We thank God for the men and women of God that truly have been dedicated, committed, and walking in obedience to His will and really exemplifying Christ, because we're supposed to be the disciples of Christ and walk in epistle, not just a member in an organization or in a church building or just name the name of Christ and walking contrary. We don't want to be a people that says, He says, praise me with your lips, but your heart be far from us, from me, but praise God. So we bless the Lord, praise God. So at the night, tonight, praise God, we want to share some things concerning the word and pray on the prophets that may be able to share some things of what's going on in the end times to inspire us, to give us that determination to keep pressing in and pressing forward allow the Spirit of the Lord to have free reign. So we're thanking the Lord for all that He's done and what He's doing, what He's promised to do, and thanking God, glory to God, for all His great and mighty acts. He's so awesome. The God we serve is great and greatly to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, Thy name shall be praised. What an awesome God we serve. And as we prepare ourselves tonight, glory to God, we ask the Lord, glory to God, to touch our minds, our heart, our spirit, man, to be in preparation to hear what His Spirit is saying to our spirit, so that way we may be able to deliver whatever that is that God is saying for the hour. So in the meanwhile, we bless the Lord, want to give Him praise, want to give Him honor, and thanking Him, glory to God, because great is His faithfulness. He's a wonderful and awesome God. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. For He has done great things. For He has done great things. As we praise Him and giving God glory tonight, we bless Him. We praise and give Him glory for he is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to prepare ourselves. Glory to God to read a scripture, and then after we read the scripture, we're going to go right on into the word. We're thanking the Lord. Glory to God tonight. Glory to God that we're going to talk a little bit about storms, the storms of life, and how do you respond to your storms. And all of us go through various trials, various situations, various things in life, and we got to make up our mind that we're going to choose Jesus Christ and him crucified, and to be in a place, glory to God, that we trust in his word and learn to just rest in his word. To know, glory to God, no matter what goes on, we are going to hold on to the promises of the Lord. Praise God. He is worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we're going to start our scripture reading out of James, the first chapter, starting at the first verse. Let's see. Of course, I want to use an electronic. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's see. Well, I had something else going on in the background, so we have to make sure we get over into James. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, the first chapter, and we're going to start at the first verse. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let that man think that he shall receive, not think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh, what is wrong with my system? Oh, tell me the system is locking down. Praise the Lord. Oh, so my system had locked up. I thought nobody was on the line, but praise the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable and unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the fire of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen and burning heat, but is withered as the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich. Blessed is the man that endures temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, which whom is no variable, neither shadow of turning. We've read James 1, 1 through 17. Praise God. And as I was saying, we're going to share a little bit about the storms, and then we're going to give some space for our prophet, Pastor Lillian Bird, and Prophet Apostle Tweedy to share some things shortly after I share some of what God has said concerning the storm. Father, in Jesus' name, as we come before you tonight, we give you glory, praise, and honor, and thank you. You are so awesome. There is none like you. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, thy name shall be praised. As we come before you to break the bread of life and to share, to pray, to hear your voice, we pray, glory to God, that flesh be crucified, you be glorified, and have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And God, as we hear, God, help us to obey as we submit ourselves. Forgive us for every shortcoming and anything, glory to God, that may be a hindrance in the name of Jesus. We give you all glory, praise, and honor. This week and a little bit last week, a couple of tidbits was coming back and forth about how do you respond in your storms. And since God dealt with me a little bit, too, about the prophets, we're not going to finish everything, but I will hit on a few things here and there in sharing some of the things that came to mind when he was talking to me about the storms and how do we respond in the storms. And we can either have a breakdown or a breakthrough. And it says in James, we just read, and then it says trials can produce joy, but not necessarily happiness. Trials test our faith. Trials produce endurance, and trials lead us to God's wisdom. And as he just already said, many of us lack wisdom, let us ask of God. Many times we try to take on situations and circumstances from experiences or things that we feel or knowledge that we've gained through other things, but we need to be in a place, as Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. All our ways acknowledge the Lord, and he'll do the directing of our path. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, everything else will be added. He said in his word, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but that way leadeth to destruction. That's the reason why we need to hear the voice of God, because our flesh will lead us into directions that are contrary to the will of the Lord. And sometimes because we go with head knowledge and not listen to the voice of the Lord, many times we grieve the Holy Spirit or override him, and then we find ourselves in contrary situations or dilemmas or ordeals and stuff like that that could have been avoided. And sometimes we delay or we cause some things, glory to God, to be canceled out in the blessings that God has for us. And Jesus told us in his word in John 10:10 that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came to give us life and life more abundantly. And so he told us also that many of the afflictions are the righteous, but he delivers out of them all. Now, how do you respond in your trial, in your storm? Examine yourself, as it says in Corinth, so that we can make sure that we're lining up with God's word. And the Bible tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if we're not feeding our spirit the word of God and standing on it, waiting on him, obeying and trusting him, then certain times when situations come up, instead of listening to the Spirit, we override the Spirit or we grieve in the Spirit, and then we so-called repent. And then sometimes people repent because they got caught. Sometimes people repent because they're under pressure. They don't really repent because they're really sorry. But you got to be godly sorry about the issues and the situations, but you don't supposed to be constantly repeating those things. So if we're really sincere about this walk in the Lord, then we'll give those situations, those matters to the Lord, and we will allow this flesh to die, because the flesh is going to cry out because it don't want to die. It's a fight against the spirit and warfare in the natural man. But if we want to live a life that's going to be holy and righteous unto the Lord, we got to learn to submit. That don't mean that we're going to be exempted from trials, but in the meantime and so forth, like through the trialing, it's going to produce faith, it's going to produce endurance, it's going to be produced over to God more of the character of Jesus Christ. So that's why it's so important, because God want to know and so forth that he got a vessel that is going to be here for the long haul, and it's not going to be tipsy-turvy from 1 minute and so forth like this. We got the faith. We stand on the word. Next minute, trial's going on. Then in the meantime, I don't know. I don't wonder. I don't, I can't handle it. I can't do it. How in the world are we going to be in do battle and be a part of the kingdom of God and know that there's a spiritual warfare going on, and then it's going to be to the point where we're going to be coward soldiers. We can't be stable enough and steadfast enough and dependable and so forth for it to know that you're going to be able to hear what your commander is saying and follow the orders, follow the command, and trust that he got you covered, because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jeremiah 29:11 tell us, I got a plan for you. It's for good and not for evil, to give you that expected end, to bless and to prosper you. I've already warned you that you have an enemy to contend with. And he's going to do everything he can to undermine, to manipulate, to control, to bring doubt and bring unbelief. But you have to be in a place to hear my word, know my word, stand on my word, study, and glory to God, get the word in your spirit and not in your intellect, so that way you'll be able to stand. Too many people, glory to God, that are saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, been walking upright before the Lord and doing what God required them for to a certain degree, and then all of a sudden they taper off. And then he said, who didn't run well? I mean, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Why would allow the trials and the cares of this life to turn back around and cause us to be defeated and so forth? So we got to examine ourselves, because the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out, we want to make sure that it's glorifying God and ministering grace unto the hearer. So does a man thinketh in his heart, and so is he. So the more and more you take on the mind of Christ and take on the word of God, even through your storm, you'll know how to respond. You'll be like Jesus when he was led out into the wilderness by the Spirit of the Lord, by God, and so forth like this, to be tried and be tested of the enemy, by the enemy. Every time a situation occurs, it is written, it is written, it is written, is what he brought back the word to defeat the enemy. And that's what it's going to take, because the Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it's got to be God's word, not from your intellect and, oh, devil, or whatever like this. And I know what the words say, but this, that, and the other, but. He didn't call us as goats. He calls us as billy goats. He calls us as sheep. And the sheep is humble himself, and he said, my sheep know my voice. When you learn his voice and know what his promise is and you believe it, you ought to be able to stand in it. It's too many of us now, glory to God, is hightailing and compromising and getting caught up and finding out, like finding as if, glory to God, we can't beat them, join them. No, we have to be able to stay on that straight and narrow and be persistent and persevere and be that overcomer and triumph and victorious in the Lord. There are going to be times we may get knocked down, may not get knocked out, but knocked down. But even if it was knocked out, God know how to resurrect. He is a God, glory to God, to know how to restore. But if we're doing anything as unto the Lord and to glorify him, no matter what comes, God got a way of turning it back around and making it, glory to God, good again, or raising it up in the name of Jesus. Even when winter comes, spring is over, here's the summer, here's the fall, winter comes. You can have a plant in the ground or whatever, or something that's, glory to God, that looks like it's dead, it's over, or whatever. And then when springtime comes up, it comes back up out of the ground and turn back around and blossom just as well as it did the season before. So just because it looks a certain way that it's over, we got to have the faith in God that no matter what, in this storm, in this trial, whatever situation, God said it. He is not a God that he should lie. When his word go out, it will not go out void. It's going to accomplish everything that he set it out to do. So we got to hold fast with every fiber of our being what the words say. That's why he said, look to the hills, which cometh my help, realizing my help cometh from the Lord. Praise God. So whose report shall you believe? 1 Peter 4:12, fiery trials, hope, and faith. What do you do when the rug is pulled out from under you? I'm going to read the scripture that we're talking a little bit about. It says, beloved, be not astonished at the fiery trials which is to come upon you to test you as though a strange thing happened to you. John 14:18 says, I will never leave you comfortless. I will come to you. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there has no temptation taken you but such as to common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way for your escape that you may be able to handle it. I want to read a little bit in depth, a little bit more when it says the First Peter. I had some notes on First Peter. I probably have to go back to it. I don't want to let the time get away from me too much. Dearly beloved, don't be surprised when the fiery trials, fiery ordeals come among you to test you as if something unusual has happened to you. God let us know already to John 10:10 that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. He done told us many of the afflictions of our righteousness. He done told us, glory to God, there will be things that go on. He done told us, even in when he talked to Peter, Peter, he said, the enemy decides to sift you as wheat, but I am praying that your faith fail or not. Sometimes I think we forget that we got an advocate and that we have an intercessor, that Jesus is making intercession on our behalf. He is requiring us to trust him and stand on his word and believe him. That's why it's so important to have daily devotion and time in the word and spending time with him, not allow the cares of this life through your jobs and your family and being busy, going to church, passing the church, doing this, doing that, and whatever. And sometimes we can be so busy about the work that we haven't take time to hear what the author of the book is saying. What is he saying to us and how he's directing us. We'll take something that we done went through last year, the year before, and the year before, and then we'll try to take that pattern. But if God wants to elevate us and take us to another route or take us, glory, to another elevation, we're missing him because we're so rigid and so caught up in how we came through that storm or how he moved that time or how he uses us that we are not able to just flow like the river with the water just flowing. We ought to be into a place that we get so rested in him that we'll just flow in him. So even when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. When we come in through the trial, we won't be murmuring, complaining, and this and that. We'll recognize, God, what is this in me? Have I missed you here? Is there something going on there? If you examine yourself there, you find there's nothing there and whatever. Like, is it just for you to get some glory or some praise or some honor? Or is it just for glory to God to put the enemy to flight in this right here? Or just for glory to God to set a table and repair before the presence of my enemies? Or you just want to prove yourself? Whatever it may be. After we done examine ourselves, cast the care and trust God to bring us through. Are we murmuring and complaining and fussing and cussing and acting up and then got two or three different personalities, got a personality on the job, got another personality in the church, got another personality in the house. Jesus didn't have no three or four or five personalities. He was not schizophrenic. And what happened with the believers is we're acting like we are schizophrenic on Hollywood Boulevard, and that's why the world can't tell the difference, glory to God, who's really a true believer, because we're kind of part-time loving, or we're not united, or we're fighting, or bickering, or sowing discourse, or having what's not, and we got favoritism in the body of Christ, and we're glory to God, exalting flesh, and doing all kind of matter things, prestige, power struggles, everything, glory to God, or we want to be the jack of all trades, and glory to God, won't even allow God's will to be done for the spirit of the operation to move, glory to God, among the people, among, glory to God, the giftings that God has given. So we won't get so caught up and get headed and high-minded and headed up like a cabbage. That cabbage don't have nothing but a head. It don't have no body to it. We are supposed to be into a place that we're subject to the Spirit of the Lord, and we are subject to one another and pray one for another, bear one another burdens, and uplift each other, esteem others more highly than ourselves, not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We'll be in a place, glory to God, when trials come, testing comes, we can get so anchored down that even glory to God, like you said in the word, we can either build that house on the sand or build it, glory to God, on the rock. We're supposed to be building it on the rock of Jesus Christ, the word. And then when the storm comes, no matter what, glory to God, a window pane might be broken, this might be healed off, or that, whatever like that, but the foundation of it will be still standing on the promises of the Lord. Be like that palm tree, glory to God. When the storms come, the tree can bend all the way and bow all the way down to the ground. The storm's over, it stands right back up. We ought to be that way, like that tree planted by the rivers of water, that we shall not be moved. There are going to be some times we're going to be hurt. We're going to be disappointed. He said many other afflictions. God's going to bring you through. He's going to bring you out. He's going to work it around for the good. But sometimes we're so caught up in the storm, so good caught up in the fear and tactics of the enemy and the threats and everything that he's sending, and if this and if that and what if, and the doubts just come in and all kind of wonder. Glory to God, just as dizzy, spinning glory to God like a spinning top. And that enemy loves that, because we're not going to be stable. We're not going to be in a place, glory to God, of stability, so that when we can crash the faith to know, no matter what. In 1 Samuel 30, I'm going to be skipping a little bit, because like I said, I want to get to whatever this prophecy is going to say tonight. In 1 Samuel 30th chapter, the 6th verse, it said, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Each one was bitter in the spirit because of his sons and his daughters and his wives and all of those right there, because they had went out in Amalekites that come through. After they was out doing battle, they had came through and they turned back around and burned the village and turned back around and took all their families and stuff like this and cattle and possessions and everything and whatever like this. And they had no idea. So they just wept and wept and wept and wept and wept till they couldn't weep anymore. So they couldn't even couldn't cry anymore. No more tears. So then they decided they wanted to stone the leader. It's your fault. We went out to battle. Now what happened to our family and so forth? Paraphrasing. So in the meantime, what David, even under the stress, what he did, he didn't go and just, even though he shed his tears too, but he didn't break down. He asked for the ephod. He got before the Lord and seek the counsel of the Lord. But David found strength in the Lord, his God. His relationship with God and his faith and trust got strength from God. And as he sought the Lord of God, he wanted to find out whether, glory to God, whether we should pursue or should, and will we recover. He asked the Lord. He sought direction because, as I said, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but that way leads to destruction. And what is so beautiful about the story is seeking the counsel of the Lord in all his distress and everything else, and not
going out, glory to God, trying to just do this thing on his own or handle this situation, they end up, glory to God, not having no direction of which way the enemy went with their families and whatever they did. But God knows all things. So he's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He knows everything. So by seeking the counsel of the Lord, God put them on a journey. And as they're on this journey, here it is, one of the enemy's soldiers, glory to God, was left for dead and whatever. Like, they left for dead, and they gave him some water or food or whatever like this right here, and he spoke, and they inquired, and they found out exactly where God just have a divine connection, a plan, if we just trust him. And if where it looks like there's no way, he will make a way, he will create a way, he will open a door where there is no door. But in the meantime, as that took transpired, they were able to go right exactly to where the camp was, where the camp, an enemy over there celebrating, they're celebrating. God gave it to them a plan how to do this strategy about some that was left behind and some that went forward. And then in the meantime, when they went, glory to God, after their enemy, they were able, glory to God, to consume them. And then the ones that got away, the ones that was behind was able to, and they had so much spoil. They got all their stuff back and recover and more and the overflow. So sometimes when things look like it's dead and it's over and nothing's going to come of this thing or situation, no matter whether it's people, family, ministry, whether it's over to God, a job, or whether it's a marriage or whatever, all whom God bless, no man can curse. And when God got a plan for you, no matter when the enemy comes in and sneak and steal, God can turn back around and cause him to bring it back sevenfold, hundredfold. He can turn back around, restore, resurrect, or do whatever he needs to do to bring it to pass, because his word will not go out void. God is so awesome and so wonderful. So in the midst of our storms, how are we standing and how are we handling the storm? In the name of Jesus, bless the Lord. How do you respond in your spiritual storm? Learn how to hear God in the storm, in the dark places. Build a relationship with the Lord Jesus so that when the storm comes, he will teach you how to anchor down, to hear and to know his voice. In a deeper depth, you will learn this discipline in the dark. Storms on the ocean, disciples uncertain about the man who was walking out on the water, which was Jesus. He already told them that he was going to be, that we're going on the other side and however the Lord. But in the meantime, things can happen in the midst of the storm. We can have an experience where Jesus in times he brought us through out of this, and the enemy will blow this up the next time and make us almost forget about what we just came out of. That same God, no matter what, he don't, might not come the same way, but if his word went out and he says he's going to do a thing or say something's going to happen or say glory out, he's going to bring something to pass, we got to get to a place like never before. Grasp everything we can. God's word is true. And then when we go through something, hold that dear to us, to get anchored, to know you did it then, you'll do it again. You said you're the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so we got to be able to know the voice of God, even in the dark, even in the midst of the situation, what it looked like. Glory to God. Things are coming to threaten or to or cause us, glory to God, to doubt or things to try to bring fear. We got to cancel out that fear and know that he's not giving us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, rebuking the enemy, binding up, taking authority because of the power he just gave us through the Holy Spirit. Take access to utilize the power of the Holy Spirit and don't take on things on our own, because sometimes we're doing it part-time. We're handling some things, and then we turn back around and want God to handle. Then we handle some things. We got to let the Holy Spirit do his job, and we got to be to a place to let him comfort and let him lead and guide us in the name of Jesus, in the most uncertain waters and the things, glory to God, that we go through. Are you in the dark right now in your circumstances while you are in this dark place or stormy weather is in your life, trials? Listen, remain quiet, and God will give you a word or an unction you in the direction you should go. Are you presently facing a fiery testing of your faith? One of the things that we find hardest to handle is in the testing of faith and learning to wait on the Lord. We want to see the outcome in advance. It is just too much of a challenge for us to go through the testing of our faith in the discipline of darkness. Yet God, our Lord, requires this for us to trust and have faith and be patient of it, and that's for each one of us if we are to grow spiritually. The testing of our faith is so unpredictable. It throws us off guard occasionally. We have to muster up our courage and passionate seeking the Lord Jesus deep within if we are to make it through uncharted waters. We don't like what we can't see. scripture, let me see, 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. Read it again in another. We are pressured in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. In every way, we are troubled, but not crushed, frustrated, but not in despair. Douglas Rand Bible, in all things we suffer tribulation, but are in distress. We are straitened, but not destitute. Okay? Respond to your spiritual storm. Responding to your spiritual. But many times the Lord engineers and even brings us into the very thing that tests our faith. Treasures in the jars of clay. He is the potter, I am the clay. 2 Corinthians 4:7-9. Being at loss, but not utterly at loss. Now we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this surprisingly great power is from God and not from us. We are pressed on all sides, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Isaiah 40:31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Right now in the body, right now today. How many of these things right here are causing people to be separated from the love of God, walking away or getting caught up in the troubles or the trials or the cares of this life or just jealousy and envy and glory to God or the problems that they suffer and the things that and they begin to make the problems greater than God. Anything you meditate on more than God becomes an idol in your life. You can even allow your problem to become an idol because that gets more glory and worrying and wondering and meditating and whatever than it does than the Lord. The Bible tells us and so forth like this, to meditate on his word day and night, to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water. When he was talking to Joshua in the first chapter and telling him about being encouraged, he also told him that not let this the law depart out of his mouth. He wanted him to have good success in us too when we submit to be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. So don't allow the cares of this life through the persecution and through the troubles, through the distress, through the famine, through not having this and not having that and want this and whatever like this, the dangers, all kinds of stuff. Don't allow it to take over and cause you to be separated from the Lord. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in it and is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and is safe. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless God. Praise God. How do you respond to your storm? Examine yourself, 1 Corinthians, as we just said. Don't panic. Do you get angry? Do you panic? Do you doubt the promises of the Lord, his love for you? Do you trust the Lord to get you through the tough times? Suffering and glory are twins in this woven into the fabric of the believer. How do you respond in your storm? This shouldn't be a surprise. As we just talked about this scripture over and over about 1 Peter, this shouldn't be a surprise to us since suffering and glory walk hand in hand. No cross, no crown. Many Christian believers are surprised or shocked when the trials of suffering of Christ come into their lives. As we have to realize that we're going to reign with him, we're going to suffer some things, and he, glory to God, and he got to know and so forth like that, that you are secure and sure of who he is and who he is in you. Who is he to you? And glory to God, he is the I am that I am, but is he what you say that you call him to be, glory to God, when you boasting on the mountaintop, so what is he to you in the valley? Peter expresses that Christians will often suffer from doing good. 3:13. Look at the life of our Savior Jesus Christ as a man that knew no sin, our Redeemer. To reign with him we will have to suffer some things. Be not weary in well doing, you will reap if you faint not. The blessings of the Lord add a rich and maketh no sorrow. Romans 8:28. We shouldn't be surprised, the Bible says, that we are in a spiritual warfare with Satan and the defeated foe. Christians have faced trials and have suffered for their faith from the beginning of the church and will continue until we receive, till he receives us back again. We'll share a few more things and we'll release the line in just a moment. 1 Peter 4:12, again, mental and spiritual readiness for stress. 12th verse, beloved, be not surprised, again, at the fiery ordeal among you, which come upon you as though some testing, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. He's stressing that fact for us not to get caught up in being surprised. He already told us how you responded. So in the meantime, get to a place anchored in so we can walk in our joy, walk in our peace. We won't be surprised. We won't be overwhelmed. We won't be chilling. We won't be murmuring. We won't be complaining. And we'll know. And sometimes, glory to God, it can be some heartache, some disappointments and this, but many other afflictions. I'll bring you through and bring you out. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I have a plan for you. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to work it for your good. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to provide for you. I am your Jehovah Jireh, your El Shaddai. I'm your glory to God, your God, God of, over Jehovah Salom, the God of peace. He's Adonai, glory to God. He's Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Mekadesh, the God that sanctifies. Whatever you need, he is there, and he will move on your behalf. Our conversion does not exempt us from trouble. We can expect a believer's life to be full of blessing, for it is, but it also will be full of trials, tribulations, as James 1 says. The word, the world, the flesh, the devil take offense that the on the at the word of God. Trials are inescapable part of this life. Born again believers should not think it strange that they go through trials. Why me? We ask when fiery trials come upon us, that some of us. The right question is, why not? If suffering loses sin's grip on us and causes others to see us differently, it keeps us focused on eternity and frees us into participating in ministry. Why shouldn't we embrace it as necessary, part of growth, seed in spiritual garden? Have you ever looked at a rock in a fast-flowing stream? You find stones the size of tennis balls and some the size of basketball, but all of them are rounded and smooth. The water has transformed once jagged rock into a rounded object of becoming of a beauty and wonder. And how much more is God transforming us by the renewing of our minds through his word and transforming us into the image of Christ Jesus. Okay, I'm going to read just a little bit more. It says, fiery trials, 1 Peter 4:12, we already read that. God is in control, but some will say, then why he permit these trials, his people to go through times of distress. Some cases believers say, why must this happen to me, Lord? God has forgotten me. Yes, God, our Lord does care. He has a purpose why he allows the trials. A word of consolation from man's perspective seems to deserve far better. The actual testing may take on a wide variety of forms with the degree and causes of the affliction greatly differing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I deliver them out of them all. The inability to control the circumstances causes the believers to be uncomfortable, sometimes anxious. Victory in the midst of the hardship is not possible, however, until the afflicted believer is enabled by the Holy Spirit to understand his predicament in the light of God's eye. If this trial then seems to be, in fact, the Father's doing, then resignation by faith to his perfect will is certain to produce the invaluable spiritual fruit he desires to be manifested in our lives. In doing trials, I have confidence in those to talk and to to walk in the spirit of the things of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bless God. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It may seem hard and difficult at first, frightening, uncertain at the times, but we must fight off doubt and unbelief, the temptation to give up and what is true in God's word. Rely on the word and the Holy Spirit, your GPS, your navigator, which will guide you into the truth. When you have enough experience in our relationship with the Lord and know your Bible, to know where he will lead you on the path of victory, to triumph and to be overcomers. You have to trust Jesus, have faith in his word, and obey him. Have on the whole armor of God and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide you. Stand on the rock of the truth and you won't land on sinking ground. Trust Jesus. He's in the storm with you. He will bring you through and bring you out. He will be glorified. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord. I'm not going to take it any further. I just want to bless the Lord tonight and for his word and for his promises. And thanking God, glory to God, that in the midst of the little bit that we did hear, and we didn't get all the way into depth, but the things that we did hear prayerfully, it will cause you to be encouraged and more rooted and grounded in the promises of the Lord, to be able to stand fast, hold fast, not allow the enemy to get us caught up in murmuring and complaining, and to know, glory to God, God got us and got a plan for us, and to learn, glory to God, how to rest in him. All you that are laboring and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, because he's meek and lowly, and his burden is light, and his yoke is easy. And we, glory to God, have to learn how to forget those things that are behind and press and strain toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Of course, strain toward the future and the promise that he had for us, for that goal, for to win the prize, for us to get to a place and so forth like that. We allow, glory to God, to lead and to guide us. Let the testing that we go through, glory to God, be where God can be glorified and be magnified, and the flesh can die, and we can get to a place that we can be able to enjoy more of the blessings of the Lord. And the people that are around us, that we're supposed to be that light on the hill, they can see our Father, see our Lord Jesus, our Savior, be glorified and be drawn to him in the name of Jesus. So we got to know, glory to God, this too shall pass, and don't allow pain and panic and all the hurts and the disappointments and the circumstances and the failures and the feeling failure and feeling, glory to God, unwanted and, glory to God, unloved, rejected, and all those things Jesus already done been through already, to let us know that you can go through and you can come out, you can be overcomers, because I have overcome the world. I put my spirit on the inside of you. I'm with you and I'll never leave you. I've given you my word. And he to let us know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. He to let us know, glory to God, I've given you my word. I've given you my promise. I've given you, glory to the Holy Spirit. I've given you the authority. I've given you power. I've given you angels. In the name of, I got your back. I've given you, glory to God, the armor to put on, and you don't have nothing on your back because I'm your rear guard. And so we got to learn how to use the weapons and the tools that given us that strategy how to go about to do this warfare. And then he was saying we need not to fight this battle. There's certain things we got to be dressed for and prepared for, but glory to God, we don't even have to really do the fighting. He'll do some fighting on some things and on our behalf. And God is so wonderful and so marvelous, and he wants us to really learn how to trust in him and rest in him. And glory to God, being there for the long haul. We want to be not no sprinters. We need to be marathon runners in the name of Jesus, with the mindset of Christ and a mind to stay focused and keep God first and foremost in view and see men the author and the finish of our faith. Glory to God. And like Paul said, not that I've already apprehended, but one thing I do know, I'm forgetting those things that are behind, and I'm pressing to obtain, glory to God, those things and take hold of those things that are before me in the name of Jesus. We thank God and we give God glory. We give him praise. Thank God for the anointing. Thank God for his word and his purpose and the power and the plan he had for us. And we speak in continued revival, restoration, glory to God, resurrection of whatever need to be resurrected in our lives in the name of Jesus. We bless God. He is so awesome. Marvelous is he. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank you for the living word tonight in the name of Jesus. Help us, glory to God, to grasp the part that is needed for us. Help us not to dismiss your word or trample over it, but help us to be light. And help us not to be a stumbling block to anyone. Help us not to allow, glory to God, us to be in a place that we praise you with our lips and our heart be far from you. We want to be in a place, glory to God, that you will be glorified and magnified in the name of Jesus. We bless you, glory to God, for we tear down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. We're not going to let pain and panic, glory to God, maneuver and manipulate us through circumstances and situations, but we thank you for your anointing that comes to destroy every yoke. Thank you for the weapons that you've given us, and that they are not carnal, and given us that power and that might, glory to God, to use them, glory to God, with the strategy that you place in us, in the name of Jesus, that we should live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. We thank you for our brothers and our sisters, and that we thank you, Lord God, for bringing us out of darkness into the marvelous light and giving us that mindset to be a witness and a light so that we can cause others, glory to God, through our life living and being a walking epistle to draw those out of darkness into the marvelous light through God's word and through our life living. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless these your people, and we give you all glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. God, we bless you. Bind up every satanic and demonic force that will come against this prayer, come against, glory to God, this work of the kingdom, come against this saints, glory to God, the ones that are the prayer wars on divine connection around the world, and those, glory to God, of your prophets and those things that you're about to speak into our hearts. There's no flesh to be on parade, that whatever we do and say, you'll be glorified. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. My sisters, we're going to get ready to open the line for Pastor Bird and Pastor Prophet and Pastor Tweedy. I believe I have the right number now. I pray that I do. Praise God. At this time, is this Pastor Bird?
I'm here.
Okay, then. That dream and that God has given you, whatever word God has given you for the night, the Lord bless. We're going to, before we talk about anything else, we're going to let you and Pastor Tweedy, if there are any comments or anything, we'll take those things later.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. I shared a dream with Pastor Herbert, and she wanted me to share this dream with you tonight. I had this dream January the 22nd. And this is the dream that God gave me. I dreamed I was a coach for a marathon. And as we began to start this race, I started back at the back, and I was faster than any of the other people racing. So I started at the back, and I moved up, and I was running beside this old woman. And I asked her, did she want to get some rest? And she said, no, baby, I have to finish this race. So I ran around the track again, and the second time, as I came up to her, I asked her, because she'd gotten a little bit slower, and I asked her, I said, do you want to stop and rest? And she just said to me again, no, baby, I've got to finish the race. So I came around the third time, and when I got to her on the third time, she was tired. She was weary, she was sick, she was sweating, and she was really struggling. And I said to her, do you want to sit down and rest a while? And she said to me again, no, baby, I'm almost there. I can see the finish line. So I gave her a bottle of water to strengthen her and to encourage her. And so I came around the fourth time. And when I came around the fourth time, she was barely moving. I mean, she was just struggling to put one foot in front of the other. And again, she just lost all of her strength. But she was still standing. And again, I asked her the question. I said, don't you want to rest a while? And the same words she said to me, no, baby, I'm almost there. I see the finish line. And I had this bag around my shoulder. And I reached down in this bag and I gave her a white envelope. And I continued in this race. And I went into this building somewhere. I don't know what this building was, but I went into this building. And as I got into the building, I was waiting for the people in the race to come in. And as I was standing there, all of a sudden, I saw these men. And the men came in with the woman in their arms. And they said to me, "She's dead. She finished, she crossed over the finish line, and she dropped dead." And I said, "Oh my God, did I do that?" I just felt so bad that she had died. And I pulled one of these envelopes out of the bag that I was carrying, and it said death. And I thought to myself, "Oh God, did I kill her?" And God spoke to me so clearly in that, and he said, "The race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but to the one who endureth to the end." She fought a good fight and finished the race. And the scripture that God gave me with that was Ecclesiastes 9:11. And this is Solomon speaking, and he says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, neither yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to the men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all." And God said to me, he said that when we think of death, we think of death as being the end. But God said we almost must die so that we can live again. We're going to die in this flesh, but our spirit man is going to live forever. And so God said we're not to look at death as the end, but as the beginning. We're going to have trials and tribulations, just as Pastor talked about in the storm. We're going to have trials and tribulations. We're going to be tired. And we're going to go through some things. But we got to know that the race is finished when our course is done. Acts 20:24 says this, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I must finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more." 1 Corinthians 9:24 said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run this that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temporal in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore, so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air." We got to know that we are all in a race. And once we finish our course, it's all over. And what God spoke to me, it has nothing to do with age. But once we have done what God requires of us, once we have teached that gospel and preached that gospel and did what God called us to do, our course in. And sometimes we look at the age of a person. And sometimes we are grieved because of how young that person was and why did that person have to die. But God said they finished the course. And the important thing is that I've done what God called me to do in the midst of everything else that have gone on. We're all in this race. And just as God spoke to me, he said, she fought a good fight. She's kept the faith. She have finished the course. So we have to do that same thing daily, regardless of where we are, regardless of what's going on in our lives right now. Nothing can stop us from that finish line. I mean, she slowed down. She was tired. She was beat. But nothing would stop her from finishing her course. And my prayer for each of us today is that we have the strength of God as we go through trials and tribulations, that we realize that we're on a journey, and our journey does not end until our course is finished. And when that is done, we have a reward on the other side. And I'm going to leave you with this scripture, and it says, therefore, having so vast a cloud of witnesses surrounding us and throwing off everything that hinders us, and especially the sin that so easily entangles us, let us keep running with endurance the race set before us, fixing our attention on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of the faith, who in view of the joy set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's just keep running the race. And I thank God for that vision or dream or whatever he gave me. And I don't know why, I still haven't got an answer from God as to why I gave her that envelope of death. He didn't show me anything with that. He didn't speak why I gave it to her. But all I know is that we're going to all rest when our course is over. So, Father, we do praise you. We give you glory and honor. And we thank you, God, that you chose us in yourself before the foundation of the world to be in this race. And God, this race is not about who we are or what we possess or riches or any of that. This race is about Jesus Christ. This race and all that we can leave behind us, Father God, is what we do for you. Everything else is just a waste of time. So, Father, I ask that you strengthen us for this race. I'm asking you, Father God, that you ready us for this race. And I pray that we not get tired in well-doing. And we thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome, God, we thank God for the prophet. And now we open the line for Apostle Tweedy. Prophet Tweedy, are you there? Prophet Tweedy? One more time and try to do it again. That's a Tweety there. Pastor Tweedy, are you online? Praise the Lord. Praise God, we're not unless she comes back online. I don't know what else to do. Praise God. As we have those little challenges from the enemy that will try to hold progress up. But nevertheless, we bless the Lord tonight for the word from the prophet and the word that God has given us. I pray that the Lord bless, and there was something in it that we've all grasped for our life and for to help us pursue and persist in this race for to live a life that's going to be a righteous and holy life before the Lord. Praise God. Prophet, are you there, sweetie?
All praise be unto the Most High. You hear me?
Now we can. Yes.
I truly do magnify the Most High, giving thanks and praise for allowing us in his presence once again, for the magnificence of his word, the power, and demonstration. I would like to say that lady was the church, and that letter of death was rest. She made it to her end.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'd like to give you what the Most High gave unto me. A lot of time we are in a storm. A lot of time we're going through. But he gave me Isaiah 55:8, which says, "For my are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." We must remember that we are dealing with an individual that is far beyond our thinking. Our thoughts or whatever we doing, that he is the discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. And yes, we are in a race and we must finish that race. We must fight the good fight of faith through that which we're going through. Not only did he say that, he said we are people have become a carnal-minded people. And we know that to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit is spirit. We cannot be a double-minded people. We must continue to walk in the spirit at all times. As the word of the Most High said, we need to meditate both day and night. Because we do not know, even as Paul, when he went into a storm, when the rock of the dawn rose up, he had to have a relationship with the Most High in order to tell the people to abide. Don't come out of the storm. Don't try to get out. Don't get out the ship. Abide in the ship. A lot of times we become carnal-minded because we're trying to fix situations and conditions. And that's what the enemy wants us to do. He sends in a veil of deceit to deceive us, that we cannot see our way through the storm. But all we need to do is rest in the Most High. He upholded us with the right hand of his righteousness. He will not allow the enemy to triumph over us, because he is our propitiator, our great emancipator. He is our advocate. He's the one that's standing in the gap. And a lot of time we don't understand that other people he has standing in the gap that really don't know anything about us. A storm is not a good place you want to be. You don't want to be there, and you don't want to be in the fire. But the word of the Most High said, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. As the prophet said, when she came on and she was talking about the scripture, be not deceived when these fiery trials come to try you as though some strange things had happened. I used to hate that scripture because it kept coming and it kept coming, but I had to realize that through the storm I was being made, not for my life but for somebody else's life. When you have committed your life unto the Most High, he come to make you to make somebody else. He come to strengthen you, to strengthen somebody else. If you don't have a testimony, how can you help anybody else? If you don't suffer some things, how can you help somebody else? When the wind is blowing, don't look like it's going to cease. I used to say, look like when they throw the sink in, get the sink fixed back, here come the stove. Wasn't the stove, it was the refrigerator. We thank the Most High for suffering because it is one of the fruit of the Spirit. You have got to suffer. You have got to endure hardness as a good soldier. You were made for these trials. He don't put no more on you than you can bear. And look like sometimes it's over than what we can deal with, and we want to throw in the towel. We want to throw up our hands. I've been there. It was many times I wanted to say, forget this. I go back where I came from. But I held on as he renewed the spirit of my mind to continue to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. I give him praise, I give him glory, and I give him honor for the storms because I learn to accept the storms. A lot of times when we become carnal-minded, and to be carnal-minded is death. We don't want to go back into the pit of dry bones. We don't want to be in the valley of decision. We want to be in a place where we know that we can hear the voice of the Most High. He said, let this mind that is in the Messiah be also in you. We need to seek his mind. As I was listening and as I already had thought and I was listening to the voice of the Most High, and it come back to me when I said to him, who are you? I wanted to know you, who you are. Let this mind that is in you, let it also be in me. Because when these things come, these fiery trials come, these storms come, I want to be able to stand. I don't want to fall by the wayside. I don't want to stop picking flowers by the wayside. I don't want to look at the situation as the enemy comes to deceive me, to make me think there's fire ahead when there is not. There's the fire is gone. The wind of the Most High is blowing, and the glory of the Most High is coming down. That's what I want to know, and that's what I want to see. A lot of time what we don't realize is we need to do is put the enemy to a flight. We come along and we allow him to move the foundation that is on him. We were built on a foundation that was not made by hand, not made by man, but without. We are a people chosen, anointed, appointed. Great is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's easy to quote. But when the thing or the trial take place, is he going to be greater in you? Do you have the victory? Are you walking in death rather than in life? He has made you more than a conqueror. A fighter can't get in a ring and fight if he don't think he can win that fight. He go in there with the preparation of knowing, I have studied, I have ran, I have did this and that and the other thing. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to win this fight. It's not good to get in a ring. As the words say, put your hand to the plow and turn back. You're not even fit for the kingdom. So you must continue to fight. You must continue to persevere. You must continue to run. As I have already said, we must continue on because these things are coming. These things were already set from the foundation of the world, and there's nothing you can do about it. You were chosen for this storm. You were chosen for these situations. All things work together for the good to him that love the Most High, who are called according to his purpose. And when you are called according to his purpose, these things that are coming, they were set there for a purpose. They were set there for a reason. Some things I went through, and I didn't understand why I'm going through this here. Why was this sent into my life? And I sought the face of the Most High. Why are these things? Get an answer. Don't leave it like that. Okay, it's okay. I'm being beat down. I'm being knocked down. But I'm not despair. I'm not going through this here, and I'm not going to go through that there. Give me an answer. I need an answer. Why am I in this storm? Why am I in this fire? Pure gold is made by the fire. You being made not only for somebody else, but for the kingdom of the Most High. You're taking off the mortal and you're putting on the immortality. The more the word of the Most High you put on through the storms that you're going through, the more that you're putting off this carnal mind. You cannot be carnal-minded in this race. He put you in this race. He made this race. He set this race for you to run. And we cannot run it in it with the carnal mind. He said we're too carnal-minded. There's a scripture I want to read in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3. This is Paul speaking to the people. These are supposed to be saints because he called them brethren. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. How long have you been in the race? How long have you been in the storm? How many storms have you came through? That you're still drinking milk rather than eating meat. He said, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife, you find all of this in the house. You find envy, you find strife. Or I can do better than she. They should have given it to me. And it goes on and on. The isms and schisms. The enemy brings all of these things to keep you carnal minded. Rather than spiritual minded. Then when you get to a place in the storm, you forget what the words say. I was telling the apostle the other night, I was attacked. Literally, sitting in the middle of the day, I was attacked by the enemy. And I was trying to get the words out of my mouth, Holy Ghost fire. And I kept trying to say, Holy Ghost fire. I wanted to fire the Holy Ghost, but I said, you are God that answers by fire. And I wanted him to burn the critter up, wherever he came from. Send him to the lake of fire. We want to pet these things. You can't pet the devil. You can't live with him. He's not for you, but he's against you. In any race that you are in, any storm that you are in, you can believe he's in that storm. But the Most High is in the eye of the storm. And that's where we need to get when we're in these storms is in the eye, because that is where your rest is. You can rest in the eye of the storm. Knowing that the word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word will manifest with power and demonstration. I can tell you that demon soon let me loose. Storms are made for purpose. Don't look at them as heartaches. Is all this trouble keep coming? And look what's coming now. Look what happened now. Look what's going on now. You're putting words into the atmosphere, and you're building what you shouldn't build in the atmosphere. Put the word of the Most High in the atmosphere. You put anything in there. Rather than look at this here, why is this here? And I tell people, I say one thing you should never say. It's always this thing, that, and the other. It's always something. Drop that word. If you use it, drop it. Because you've given the enemy room to send you another storm that you shouldn't even go through. Every storm that comes is not from the Most High. Sometimes we put ourselves in these storms, being carnal minded. It's always something, this thing, that thing, the other. Leave these words alone. According to the divine oracles of the Most High, because the weapon of your warfare is not carnal, but mighty through the Most High to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down every imagination, every high thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of the Most High. Bring it under captivity. He is the weapon of your warfare. You can't see these demonic forces. They're in the midst of us. They're in the prince of the power of the air. They're here. And it takes him to fight these battles. You can't fight these battles, but don't build them. Don't give the enemy what he needs to come up against you. Put on the whole armor. Let him crown you with love, kindness, and mercy. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I've given you a comforter. We need to rest in that comforter. Let this mind that is in the Messiah, let it also be in you. Let him clothe you in the garment of righteousness. As the winds are blowing, as the sleet, the hail, the rain, whatever's falling. The songwriter wrote a song, said, whatever you're doing in this season, don't forget about me. And a lot of times people write songs is because they're going through. Their hearts are aching. It's not easy to them that don't know the Most High. Because the ways of a transgressor is hard. We're not transgressors. We are saints. We are the people of the Most High, chosen and anointed. We're supposed to be setting the prey free from the captive of the mighty. But we've seen find ourselves in captivity because of carnal mindedness. That's part of that dream that where that lady was struggling. The church is struggling to make it in. The church is going through in this hour because of a lot of carnal mindedness. My mind go back to the vision that he gave me. And he said, warn my people, don't fall in my wrath to come. He said, because the church have gone backwards. In other words, they have gone back into carnality. They're not trying to run through this race. They're not trying to come through the storm that is before them. They don't settle in mind. You know what? I'd rather not go that way. I'll go this way. Your ways is not his ways. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. Continue to show forth the salvation. Declare the glory. I don't care what it looked like. I am victorious. Great is he that is in me. He have justified me. He have glorified me. He have qualified me, strengthened, settled, and established me. Even through this storm, this is what Paul was probably saying to himself as he was in that storm when he told him, he said, don't you get out the ship. Abide in the storm. Don't come out of it. Because anytime the Most High puts you in a trial, you get out of it, it's going to be worse the next time when you come back because it's coming. Stay in the storm. Abide in the ship. He said, if my word abide in you, you abide in me, you can ask for the word. Give me peace that surpasses all understanding, even though I'm going through this trial. Let not my enemies triumph over me, but let my head be lifted above mine enemies round about me. 1,000 shall fall at my left, 10,000 at my right, and none shall come nigh my dwelling. I don't care what they're coming up with. They might come up with whatever the case might be in this economic situation. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I put my trust in the Most High. Trust in the Most High and lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him through your storm, through your trial, through your tribulation. Acknowledge him. He will direct your path because it was already set from the foundation of the world that you were supposed to suffer and go through. Lift up your hands, O ye gate, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, Lord mighty in battle. Who can battle against him? I don't care what kind of storm you might be going through on your job, in your home, in your backyard. The Most High said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, in fact, I will send you goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Soon this storm will be over and there'll be no more. He said, I'm going to dry your tears. You won't have to cry no more. You don't have to suffer no more. Well, they say I got cancer. I said, so they say. So they say I got this. So they say. He said, I've given you all that you have need of to deliver and set you free. Alas, so be it. I'm finished.
Thank you, Lord. I tell you, he is an awesome God. What a wonderful, marvelous, dynamic God we serve. He knows everything we need. I thank you that he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Know what his report is, believe it, receive it, act on it, walk in the power and authority he's given us, rebuke the of the enemy, and make the enemy a liar in everything that he says and do. God, I give you glory for the submission and obedience to your servants, those things that were said, ponder in our heart to hear from you and obey what your voice is saying. God, I thank you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Lord, amen. The lines are open tonight. Glory to God for prayer or either just give a remarks or however. We thank God. Glory to God. Not unless God has given something else to be said. We thank God. Someone's speaking.
Lord.
I can't. Praise the Lord, Mother McCormick.
Praise them. I enjoy each and every one of them. And the word was so good. And I thank you for the word. And I'm, like I said, I always say, I'm not going to add to it. I'm just going to go back over it when I get on the phone. And because I was on the phone, and the phone cut off. And I couldn't hear nobody. It just cut completely off. And I said, it's nothing but the enemy that want me to hear this word on tonight. But I thank God that I hear the word on tonight. I thank God for Sister Hubbard, Prophet Bird, and Prophet Tweety. I thank God for all three of y'all ladies with a word of God on tonight, because it hit just like the pastor was talking about that same thing today. And I thank God for each and every one of you. God bless you.
Marvelous. Praise God. To him be glorified.
What? She left and she didn't get the box.
Oh, we're ready to close the line. If there's no more remarks or prayer or praise report, we just want to meditate on the goodness of the Lord. The lines is open. We have time if so, but I just don't want the lines open if no one's not going to say anything. But I just want to glorify miraculous way. Maybe on the side, I'm not sure who that is. I'm going to have to mute that.
All praise is unto the Most High. The enemy did not want this word to go forth. My phone got messed up, and I had to shut my phone off and come back in.
I saw that.
There's a message.
Praise God. You still there? You dropped again?
Yes, I am.
Well, praise God. But I saw that. That's why I was saying we were going to wait on you, and I know it came. So I said a few words and waited because I know what God had said, and he brought it to pass. There's no weapon formed, no matter how it's formed. We got to wait, be patient, and trust God. And how do we respond in our storm? So no matter what the challenge is, we got to have that heart and mind and keep confessing what God's word is saying, rebuking the hand of the enemy, and keep it moving. And so he blessed and brought it. So praise God. Anyone else?
Praise God. Praise God.
It's the one spot. All these people on the line. Nobody's saying today. I guess you're full of the word or full of the anointing. I don't hear anybody else. The lines are open. So, okay. Oh, I left one line open. That was Mother. Mother Willett ended up dropping her call. I'm sorry about that. But praise God. Well, all the ladies, as the Lord say the same, all is well. I thank God for the anointing, for the power of his spirit moving tonight. Truly it was the Lord. I bear witness in my spirit. I thank God for the prophets, Pray they continue to be blessed and used of the Lord. All the prayer warriors and all the ones that were listening, pray there was something that ministered to the heart and deal, because no matter if we're ministering or we're hearing, we're all in the body of Christ, and if he's even using the vessel, he'll say some things to you to bring us into that place of more of him, less of us, canceling some stuff or winging us unaware or whatever. But I thank God for his love, his mercy, and grace, and for the power of his word. I've enjoyed the move of God tonight and the men and women.
It's really good.
Allow the Lord to bless and move it through them.
Will you just
pray down tomorrow? I heard somebody in the back. I guess it's our time tonight because somebody's line open. I don't know who it is where we're not being able to. Hopefully everybody. Yeah. Must have left off and came back on. Okay.
Hello.
Are you there? Yes, ma'am.
You hear me, Minister BJ?
Now, your call had dropped or something. Must have came back.
No, I had to. I could hear y'all, but y'all couldn't hear me, so I just hung up and redialed.
I just enjoyed
everything. I thank and praise God. I hear sound like somebody on the line. I don't know if their phone is just off the hook and they're in the background or whatever, but I thank and praise God for every morsel that was given. I've enjoyed that word, and I just praise God that I keep hearing some of the same messages, praise God. The race is not given to the swift, but he that endureth until the end. So I thank and praise God for everything. It was really good. And I thank and praise God for the prophets, all of you all, giving what God has given to you. And it was so much that was in that. And this is one of those messages you have to go back and sit and pull it back up and re-listen. And even up in my Sunday school lesson today, I thank and praise God all these lessons on the kings and how it's like been a domino effect when the king is not going to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. And they influence the people to doing things that are negative. So, and what was interesting is like the priest and the people that's supposed to be setting an example, they were not even. So ain't nothing new under the sun. The same thing is happening, but I can see that the church is because if they don't have good leadership, they can become carnal minded. So I see a lot of that, and I see how. But the messages that's been given, I said, Lord, I just wish that these messages can be given over the airways, the radio, the TV. The people need to hear the message because what God's word, when everything else is said and done, his word is still going to stand, and his word is so that we can live by that word. Like I heard tonight, God has already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And we just have to govern ourselves according to the word. And if you don't have God on your side, you are in a pickle. And I thank and praise God. Everything I heard was good. I love the message of staying with the ship. In other words, stay with the word. Praise God. You're not going to go wrong. I was telling somebody tonight, Sister Smalls, I was letting her know, when your mind go to wandering, encourage yourself, remind yourself, begin to speak the word of God over your life. Speak the word out loud, praise God. So there was so much in all of what was said. I thank and praise God I was able to be on the line to hear what was being said. So to God be the glory. God bless each one of you ladies for taking the time to hear from God and speak what thus says the Lord. And for Minister Byrd, I thank and praise God for you seeing a dream. And dreams, God give us dreams. And I think, I don't know if I told you, Minister BJ, or not, but the other night God gave me this dream, and I saw like somebody was doing drugs and stuff like that. But immediately I had to get up and go into warfare prayer for whoever that was. So I thank and praise God. So when he gives you a dream, he lets you know what you need to do. And sometimes when you get dreams, if there's negative things in the dreams and something, a lot of times God wants you as the intercessor to say something about the situation, and God may relent of what he was going to do. regarding that situation, praise God. So we have a charge on our life, and I thank and praise God that he see fit to put his word down on the inside of us and give us his Holy Spirit to be governed by his Holy Spirit. But stay with the ship. I love all of what I heard. It was just great messages that I heard again, 1 Peter 4, about think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you. And today we heard another great message from our pastor saying, you meant it for evil. Talking to Joseph, talking about his brother. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, that I might save much people. And I got from that message, praise God, that, you know, God has placed us here. Why? So we can intercede, so we can be the vessels that maybe help draw somebody to God and save somebody's life. So to God be the glory, because he's all about saving life. He don't want people to die and be separated from him. He's about saving life. So I love the Lord on tonight. I thank and praise God for you ladies giving your time and your, you know, your messages that you encourage us with. So I just pray that God will strengthen each of you and bless each of you and meet you wherever you are and whatever you need. God bless you and give you favor with it in Jesus' name. Thank you, ma'am.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God.
He gave you a word? Hello? Did he give you a word? Okay, evidently not. I thought maybe the Lord was. Praise the Lord. Just want to encourage
I'd like to say something. I'll pass.
Okay.
I'd like to say something. And this has been on me. Everyone that come on this line need to call somebody and tell somebody to get on this line before you come on the line. Call somebody and encourage somebody to pick up their phone and call this line.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
He wants this ministry to go further than where it is.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. To God be the glory.
People are hurting. People are going through. People are in storms.
Yes.
Praise God.
It's the anointing that destroys the yokes.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I just want to say this, that this word tonight was for the body of Christ.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, we struggle, we go through things just like the world, and the church has gotten to such a weakened stage.
It is.
For we need to be reminded of the hope of glory, which is Jesus Christ. And we need to be reminded that trials and tribulations are coming. Sometimes we think because we are Christians that we are exempt. And
we
the devil is unaware. We are not ready when they come. We fall under pressure. But I thank God for this message tonight. It was to strengthen the body.
Thank you, Jesus.
And let us know that what we are going through, just like I said, it is not strange. It is not strange. But God has given us the strength to go through it all. So I just thank God for the women of God tonight who brought that word. I'm telling you, I know it was for me. It strengthened me. It just let me see in another level that was for me. And I just thank you, women of God, for the word tonight. Thank you for letting God use you, because this is a much-needed word, especially in this time.
God, so I thank you for it.
Praise and just thank you.
Thank you, Lord. God be the glory. I honor him and give him glory because truly my spirit was fed and encouraged and enlightened and
give them even more strength of the things that have been said and how God tied all this in. And we just, all the thing we did was just listen to the voice of God and obey. And I thank God for you two prophets, just trusting God and the spirit that God has given me to say, come on, and what God placed in your spirit, and it tied it in so marvelous. It's wonderful to be hearing from God, to have a relationship, and then to be on one accord and with people walking in obedience. And then we can be able to see how the body fits together with the giftings that God has given us for to encourage and build a house in the name of Jesus. But no flesh be on parade, and nobody exalting, no flesh. Everything God exalted was Jesus, only one. So we give God glory. Praise God. So I thank God for you all tonight, and we are looking forward to being on the prayer line on Monday night to pray and intercede and for God to bless and move. Thank God for the testimonies that's been coming in, the healing and the deliverance and prayers that need to still go forth for so many things that are going on. But thanking God for He's teaching us how to rest, regardless of all the trials and tribulations that are going on in the cosmos and in our own lives, to cast the cares back, trust God, walk over to God through this, through trusting His word and leaning on the Holy Spirit and letting Him lead and guide, and obedience and our faith and trust in Him. In Jesus' name, keep us continually dressed for battle and praise the Lord, and making sure that we know that we are victorious, overcomers, triumphant in the Lord, more than a conqueror. And it's not just words being said, that we truly are, and God has given us everything we need for the battle. And glory to God, and also for us to keep the armor on and to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He'll give us the strength to be able to stand and supply our every need in Jesus' name. Amen. Make yourself available. Be steadfast in the faith. We bless the Lord for you tonight, and I thank God again for how truly He is worthy to be praised. Praise the Lord. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you, Lord, for being on, and thank God for bringing our family through the flus and whatever. But we thank God for the divine healing on all of our children, our family, everyone.
Yes.
Bind up every demonic force that will come against this prayer, this anointing, the prophecy,
yes,
everything. Angels being camped and the blood covering, and God's desire to fulfill the will of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Amen. Shalom.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise Him.
Thank you, Lord, for the amazing grace. And thank you for receiving us. We love you. Hallelujah.
We love you.
For that place of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, give the glory to God. Give the glory for the great things He has done. He's worthy to be praised. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. How great thou art.